Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am so glad you decided to join me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today has been involved in branding and marketing strategy for over a decade and has worked to shift the status quo with brands such as Apple and Morgan Stanley. He is now the founder of Design Pickle, a graphic design subscription service that offers unlimited requests and revisions for a monthly fee. My guest is also a creative consultant at Digital and Disruptive, where he hosts workshops to help companies rapidly develop marketing or build brand strategies. He is a charitable guy and has been on the board of directors for the Alzheimer's Association and is the co-founder of One Small Business, which provides entrepreneurial education for young people. Now, let's hack Russ Perry. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. We have a very, very cool guest today. Russ, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, you bet, John. Thanks for having me today.
It is my pleasure. And let's jump straight into it, shall we?
Absolutely.
Russ, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I know luck is kind of like one of those cop-out answers. I probably shouldn't throw it out there, but I think for me, it's being able to assemble the right resources to put together the business. I think a lot of times, as I look back at the failures that I've had, it was when I tried to do too much myself. And, you know, that's a common trap a lot of entrepreneurs fall into, because we're good at everything and we know exactly what we want. But to be truly successful, you have to figure out ways to build systems or bring on people to expand whatever you're doing beyond yourself. And so I tend to have a knack for that. And whether that's, you know, getting people on my team or kind of creating systems and with technology and software, that's where my strengths probably lie. And I've been able to use that through several businesses and growing them and making a little bit of money along the way.
Which isn't so bad.
It's not. I've also lost a lot of money too. So
of course.
It goes both ways.
Yeah. And the luck, I mean, there obviously is a certain amount of luck. I mean, in timing, being in the right place at the right time, online or wherever you are in your business. But you have to be there. You have to be doing that for luck to kind of find you, right?
Yeah. And luck, you could look at luck as just like a probability kind of thing. If you're, I had a friend who he would always win these contests and I'd be like, his name's Dave. And I'm like, Dave, you're so lucky. You always win. He'd win these crazy contests to go to Las Vegas and TVs. And he's like, Russ, I enter like 20 contests a day. And so probabilities is statistically more probable to win. And so I think for luck, it's kind of the same thing. Is like people who are quote unquote lucky aren't necessarily getting more advantages than other people or the universe is favoring them. It's just they're putting themselves out more. They're trying more things. They're creating more connections that are that could lead to other stuff. And that to me is really how I interpret luck, is being just creating more of a mathematical probability that you're going to meet or get or whatever you want.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm glad you made that sort of clarification, because you're right. It's like, I mean, looking at Dave, it looks like he wins all the time, but he also enters all the time.
Yeah.
And people can look at you and be like, oh, Russ, you're so lucky with business and stuff. It's like, man, I work my ass off. I have for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's not really luck. It's just,
yeah, well,
so that's cool.
My business coach said that, you know, that the last 10 years have been practice for today, because I was kind of lamenting over, you know, a couple of businesses I had over the last decade. And she's like, oh, that was just practice for today. I was like, oh, that's an interesting way to look at it.
That is. How long have you had a business coach for?
Man, I've always had one off and on. I find myself to really thrive in that kind of environment, the accountability and the perspective that a coach provides. So this current one I hired at the beginning of the year and really kind of right around when I was launching Design Pickle. And I've been working with her. Her name's Dina Patton. I've been working with her we work every other week, have a call, and it's great. I love it. I highly recommend getting a business coach. That's a really powerful thing, especially if you're just kind of on your own doing your own thing, because you don't really have that accountability like you would if you were in a team.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why when you mentioned it, how did you go about finding, or how in the past have you gone about finding a business coach?
So this specific coach, it's a quick, funny story, is as I was at a conference and she was speaking and presenting on some other topics and mentioned she did coaching, but coaching for women. And I was like, oh, that's a bummer. You know, I thought she was really smart and really liked her content. And so I actually referred her to my wife, who just started a business. And I was like, hey, you should look into a coach. And my wife is very cynical of the idea of coaching. Like, she was like, so I'm going to pay all this money to talk to somebody? Like, that sounds stupid. And so she got off her intro call with Dina and hired her on the spot. And I was like, holy smokes, if this woman's good enough that Mika, my wife, is going to hire her on the spot, then I should talk to her. So I talked to her and she's like, well, Russ, yeah, I work with women business owners, but I also work with really smart men. And I was like, oh, that's a genius sales line. And so I had to hire her at that point. But, you know, other than that, I think coaching is a lot like, it's very personal. And so there's all different styles of coaches. And it's frankly easy to find them, you know, searching in your local community for business coaches. And there's all sorts of training programs that go through. Some are trained, some aren't. But, you know, for me, I've always just sort of come across them, usually in like a conference setting.
Nice. Excellent. And I love how the past 10 years has been practice for today. So that leads us nice into this question of, in every entrepreneur's life, there seems to be this time when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make something big in the world, something bigger than themselves, or, as to mostly seems to be the case, is they find they simply can't work for somebody else. So can you, Russ, take us back and tell us what side of the fence you sit on and when you sort of discovered this about yourself?
Yeah, it's really clear for me. I was working for Apple here in Arizona, where I'm at, and it was right as they were launching. Well, I worked for them in college at the university doing stuff for them, and that was fun. Helped them launch the iPod back in the day. And then when I was after college, I was working for them as they were launching the retail stores. However, I had just had my first daughter, who will be 10 this year. So that's about 10 years ago. And I was freelancing and kind of doing my own thing, but I wouldn't have considered myself an entrepreneur. You know, I was working for Apple, and then I was kind of doing some stuff on the side. And so I actually, when my daughter was born, I was really limited with the amount of time I could take off of work. I like had a, because me and her mom weren't together. You know, it was just friends and whoops, we got a baby. And so I was trying to navigate all these doctor's appointments and all the, you know, seeing my daughter and all this stuff. And I was like, this sucks. Like, I hate working for somebody. Like, requesting time off just to be able to go to a doctor's appointment seemed like the craziest thing for me. And so, you know, the stars kind of aligned, and I had one friend who provided me with enough of an opportunity to go out on my own. And so in 2005, I actually started my first agency formally, and I had filed the business paperwork, and that was that. And so I think I was the latter of your two options, you know, kind of thinking like, I don't want to work for somebody. I don't want to have to navigate a paid time off policy.
And I guess that's still sort of your case. You just,
yeah,
you couldn't,
yeah.
The further and, you get now, right?
And I know that, and I would say I was technically unemployed last year. So I closed my last business in September of 2014, and I had no plan. So there were real conversations with my wife about getting a quote unquote real job. And I kind of cheated, you know, I did consulting, which is kind of like getting a real job, but not kind of not. And so that was good. But, you know, yeah, becoming an employee again and all going through all that, it's almost like my mind couldn't comprehend that. And so then I, you know, figured out what my next thing was going to be with Design Pickle.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting place to be in, especially after so many years on your own. You said your wife's an entrepreneur as well?
Yeah, she's a new one. It's a scary place. I was really freaked out, to be honest. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I have two girls now and one more on the way. So my wife wasn't pregnant then, but I still had a family. And so to not not know what your plan is really scary. And for an entrepreneur who usually always has a plan, that's a very unusual place.
Yeah. And was there a process that you could say replicate or go through again to sort of discover where you wanted to go and focus your efforts, which became Design Pickle, but you, like you said, you had no idea.
Yeah. Well,
that's a hard place to be.
So yeah, I started really poorly in terms of figuring out, and it was whatever idea came into my mind, I started to like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to think about this. And that was really dangerous because I was most certainly in a place of scarcity. I was in a place where everything seemed like a good idea, frankly, because I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I actually also hired a coach, different coach this time. This was in October, a guy named Taylor Pearson. And I had met him, saw some of his writing on some forums and things, and really prolific guy. So I like hired him and I was like, you seem like an analytical guy. Help me sort through all this. So we did two exercises, which is really simple. One was describe your life 3 years from now, irrelevant of your work. Like, just what do you want your lifestyle to be like? And that, so if you do these, if you've accomplished this and this is what's happening, you're really happy. So I wrote that. And then he's like, okay, I want you to make a decision-making filter. And these are the things that need to be true for you to achieve that three-year outcome. So for me, I had a lot of travel and time away and visiting Asia with my family and doing a summer in Italy. So for my decision-making filter, my next professional thing clearly would need to be remote. Like, I would need to be able to be work with it anywhere in the world. So maybe I would have an office, but my business couldn't be dependent on me being in a physical location. So I've created this list of decision-making filters. I think there's like 7 or 8 items on it. And when I took all my ideas and ran them through this filter, all of them failed. It, like, none of them passed. And so I had no ideas left in October. And I just consulted, you know, I got a couple friends that I helped out with their marketing stuff. And I just didn't come up with new ideas. And every time a new idea would come up, I would run it through this filter. And it wasn't until December when the idea of Design Pickle came to my mind. That was the first idea that had passed all the filters. And that's when I started to realize I was onto something.
That's really cool. And so basically it's like working backwards, right? Think of the business you want to create and the life you want. It was even outside of business, but what life do you want, which is even more important. And then otherwise we just create businesses. And then 3 years from now, you're like, this isn't what I wanted, but you're stuck in this business you created. Mm-hmm. Now you're like actually creating what you want, the life you want in 3 years from now.
Absolutely. And it's hard to change things. Even 1 year into a business, it's super hard to change stuff, to go from an office to a virtual only environment. And I was actually talking to some guys today, and one guy is like, you know, Russ, it seems like you have no friction with employees. Like, you have this model that you've used for Design Pickle and everything seems to be self-sustaining. And I said, yeah, it's because I didn't want to manage anybody. So the first person I hired was a project manager. And like, that was by design, because in my little decision-making filter, I wanted to have a lot more freedom. So, you know, you do the luxury when you're in like my position to do it, but I totally agree. Like, kind of reverse engineering out what your lifestyle is and what things are like for you irrespective of the actual business or whatever seems to have worked well in me now making decisions based on that. And I still make decisions based on those decision-making filters when I'm hiring and, you know, with different strategic things.
Have you got to go to Asia with your family yet?
Not with my family. My wife is from Japan. She lived most of her life here, but her mom's from there. And so I did go to Japan in 2011.
Nice.
And that was really amazing. Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome. So our goal is to go back there. Her family lives in Kyushu. And so we want to go back there and spend some time.
And you're setting up your...
maybe a summer.
You're setting up your business to allow you to do that.
Yeah. I mean, my business is totally remote. I run most of it from my laptop and I don't have an office. My staff, everything, all the systems are in the cloud. And, you know, a lot of team around the world right now. You know, that's one angle that we have for Design Pickle, is we have international designers working for us. And so we got to be very, very, very friendly to that remote type of style and workforce.
It's very cool. It's very cool. All right. So at the beginning Being able to assemble the right resources was your one thing that you can do. Mm-hmm. And now, this day and age, every blog post, every expert is talking about the 80-20 rule, right? Mm-hmm. Do 20% and get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at and delegate the rest. Russ, could you please tell me something that you are not good at in your business?
I am not good at a lot of things, depending on who you're talking to. One thing that I am challenged at is creating content that really resonates with like any kind of marketing strategy. So I like to write, I like to talk, I love podcasts. A lot of the stuff I create, I don't know really if how important it is to my business. And so that's a challenge, I think, as we grow and how important content is for marketing. I'm also, I will admit this, and I apologize to any clients who listen to this podcast later on. Like I don't really, I care for our clients, but I've had to become a lot more cold-hearted about our clients. So I'm not very good. I'm not the right person when it comes to great customer service. And the reason is because our product and our service is so straightforward that I get a lot of clients who want to like brainstorm and have one-on-ones and talk. And I feel so bad, but I have to always turn them down. And I'm trying to figure out a way around it because it's just not scalable is really the main thing. Like I have hundreds of clients now. And so it's really hard for me to chat with every single one of them and sit down. So I don't know. That's kind of a lame answer, I feel like. But I'm trying to figure out ways around it too. And again, delegating, outsourcing. Like how can we hire staff that can be more provide more attention to our clients? And because I'm definitely sucking at it right now.
Yeah. And it's not a lame answer at all. It's a great answer mm-hmm. because you have a total grasp on what it is. And it wasn't even really fair because earlier in the conversation, you said you knew that the worst thing you're at is project managing. And so that was the very first person you hired. So you had already said the one thing that you really feel you weren't good at.
That's true. And I don't even think about that because I just sort of solved that problem. I was thinking of more of like current things I'm struggling with, right?
Right. But you already had so many people start a business, Russ, and they like takes them 5 years to realize that they're terrible at project managing.
Yeah.
They just think that the projects are all bad, not them. And then they finally like, I should try a project manager. Mm-hmm. So,
well, my previous,
I think you're way ahead.
My previous agency, and this is scary to say, but we actually were not as great at delivering the final product very often. And so that was a huge challenge. And I say to any entrepreneur listening, that's got to be your foundational thing you have to be good at, is you have to make sure whatever you're selling delivers. Because if you're worried about the delivery of your product or a service or whatever you're doing, then you'll never be able to scale sales because your sales guys or your sales function will be like, I don't want to sell what you're doing because it's not working. And that'll really stunt the growth of your business.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so your core sort of business has to be there.
Yeah.
But then there's always going to be, say, use the term very loosely, like projects or things that you're going to take on in your business, either to bring in new customers or to provide new services to those customers. Mm-hmm. And you said like content is content is a massive way to like find customers at this point, but you don't find that you're that good at it. But what is the process that you go through now within Design Pickle to decide whether a new project is something that you should throw resources at or a direction that you should go?
Yeah. Well, right now, the way we sort of have been determining a strategy is really around what our clients are asking for. And as well as more like foundational, just business functions, like building a sales team right now is really important because we're not very big. So I want to grow the business because if you have cash, you can, you know, and reinvest that and grow. But as far as like the projects and the features and the things that we're doing, we're really looking at what our customers are asking us. And the number one thing, actually related to the thing, this is why I said we're not doing a good job, is how do we provide more value add to the small business owner to know how to use our service, to sort of like brainstorm and think of ideas Yeah. Cause if you and I have a one-on-one right now, John, I probably, like we were chatting before the podcast, like I can think of 10 things for you to use as Iron Pickle and you'd be like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's great. Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh, you're using it that way. But that takes time and I can't do that in mass. So how do we create automation that does that? How do we, you know, maybe hire somebody that can be kind of like a creative coach to work with people one-on-one? And I get that. And that's from our clients. You know, I'll bump into clients here in Arizona. I'll talk to them online and they're just like, hey, I love the service, but I'm like running out of ideas. Like I need to know how can I use it more? How can I best leverage it? And we'll chat and then, you know, they'll be so inspired, but we need to figure out a better way to do that in mass. And, you know, we're generally answering. That's where I would start. Don't try to think of all the answers yourself in a vacuum. Ask your current clients or ask the prospective clients that you want to go after, you know, what would make their lives easier or more use, you know, your product more useful for that new vertical you're going after.
And unfortunately though, sometimes we don't even know, like now that you piqued my interest, like what are these 10 things that I could be doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so much value there that I'm not even aware exists.
Yeah. And that's totally true. And we don't know. And sometimes it is guessing, but in the early stages, I try to remind myself, you know, right now, my goal for the business is to create a sustainable sort of machine that is delivering a really great product, that we're finding prospective clients and that we're, you know, making money along the way. And so all the decisions and all the things that I'm doing really have to tie into those foundational pieces because I have really cool creative ideas. Like I want to have a pickle festival in Phoenix someday. I want to have a big celebration of pickles where we all come together and just share and eat pickles because I love pickles. That's really not a strategic idea right now.
But it's an awesome idea.
It's such a sweet idea, right? And maybe you have like the old ska band Skanking Pickle like all this stuff. But, you know, it's like that's a really big distraction. So I have to taper back the ideas.
Excellent. Okay. So this is going to put us to where we're going to wrap up. And I love it because You're talking about the goal for the business and this forward thinking that you're doing, which this is something that I call the entrepreneurial gap, which I think that sometimes we fall into as entrepreneurs and as dreamers. And so I find that we are always looking ahead, right? 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years down the road, where we're going to be, how much better our business is going to be, how we're going to get to travel with our families, how we're going to get to do all of these things. And before we even seem to hit these goals, we set 5 or 10 loftier ones into the future. But sometimes we fail to stop and look at where we've come from. Mm-hmm. So Russ, I would love for you to stop right now for me, turn around, look at where you've come in the last 10 years, what you've learned, what you've accomplished as an entrepreneur, and tell me how you feel about that.
What a powerful closing kind of question. I think I have evolved and really become much more of a humble person, knowing that I don't know a lot. And that, you know, where I'm coming from that is when I had an agency, more of a traditional agency, you're kind of hired to be the expert, whether that's marketing or SEO or design or branding. And so you really have to put a front on to always be the expert and to be the person that has all the answers, because that's why they're paying you. And so I think that developed kind of a know-it-all attitude. And not to say that I was like a know-it-all like you see in the movies, know-it-all like the nerd know-it-all in class, but I just wasn't asking a lot of questions and I was thinking we could do a lot more than we could when really we were not in a position to, we didn't know a lot of these answers and I didn't admit that. And so the kind of looking back, I realized how many mistakes I made, not taking the time to admit I don't know and to take the time to learn and to listen and to find the answers or find the people with the answers. And so that's kind of where I'm at now is it's just an open mindset, a learning mindset, always reading and trying to get better and realizing that it's a long journey ahead and I'm not going to get there on my own and I'm never going to know it all. You know, I don't have to be the expert either.
Yeah. I love it. It's a beautiful answer. So we've got to talk about you and your business a lot, sort of in passing. Could you specifically tell the listener, Russ, where to find out about your business and where to find out about you?
Yeah. So Design Pickle, limited graphic design help for $195 a month. You can find us at designpickle.com. We are on Instagram, Design Pickle. You can see me dressed up as a pickle if you're into that kind of stuff. And then we do a little Twitter. Like I mentioned, we're working on our content. And then I'm just, you know, at Russ Perry, but you can contact me on Twitter or through the contact form on the site, and I'd be happy to help. I monitor all inbound stuff, and you can reach me also at russ@designpickle.com if you have a direct question you want to dive into.
Excellent. So designpickle.com, the service looks amazing. I am hiring Russ's company today. So
excellent.
Since we're by the time you get to hear this episode, it's actually about 3 weeks later, and you will already see artwork by Design Pickle on the site. So you'll see how awesome it is.
Awesome.
And definitely check it out. I will link to it in the show notes so it's easy for everyone to find. I'll link to your Instagram and at russperry.com as well. And Russ, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by and chat with me today. And please keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's really awesome to watch.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, thanks so much, John. This was a great time. I appreciate it.
Russ, thank you so much for joining me today. That was a lot of fun. And Design Pickle, I have to say. So Russ is not in any way paying me to say this. I wish he would pay me to say this, but absolutely unnecessary. Design Pickle, I had never heard of it until I got to interview Russ, and then hearing him talk about it, I checked it out, and wow, it's a brilliant service. Brilliant service. You pay a monthly fee, and you get unlimited design from him. From his company, not even from him. I guess he doesn't do the work. But I've been using it. You can go now, hacktheentrepreneur.com, check it out, and you will see the artwork for Russ's show and the artwork for the last probably 40 shows before this. I've been really pushing this unlimited design thing. I've been doing not only my 3 episodes a week and social media, we've been backtracking and going through all the old episodes and updating the artwork. And they're doing brilliant work. I love it. So check it out for sure. Russ, you're a smart, smart guy. And during this conversation, you said a lot of smart things, right? Didn't he? He did, totally. But I need to go back to almost the beginning, because there was something that he said at the beginning that was just, that was the one thing, wasn't it? Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
People who are quote unquote lucky aren't necessarily getting more advantages than other people, or the universe is favoring them. It's just they're putting themselves out more. They're trying more things. They're creating more connections that are that could lead to other stuff. And that to me is really how I interpret luck, is being just creating more of a mathematical probability that you're going to meet or get or whatever you want.
And that's the hack. So, so, so well said, Russ. Luck's a funny thing, isn't it? Luck's something that, yeah, it's luck is something that we can create this probability, mathematical probability, as Russ says, around by putting ourselves out there more, trying more things. How do you have a successful business? You probably start 10 that fail first. It's your first one that doesn't work. It's just not how it is. It looks like it maybe from the outside. There's nothing kind of that frustrates me more from a personal side is when people, friends of mine that say 5 years ago when I started building a business online and it was time to go out and do things, it was time to hang out, it was time to, and I was working on, not at my job, but afterwards on creating something online, creating something that mattered and creating something that could support me and my family. And it was like, oh, what a waste of time. Don't do that. Like, you already work all day. Why, blah, blah, blah. And now that I do this and I don't have to work as much and I can travel the world and I can do all kinds of things, those same people say, wow, John, you're so lucky. You're so lucky. It's like, is it luck or is it the fact that I worked my ass off to do this? It's not luck. I mean, we can put ourselves in the way of luck so that luck can find us, so that. And it's absolutely true, Russ. Like, you have to make yourself lucky. You really do. The world will conspire to help you do cool stuff if you put yourself out there more, if you write more, if you produce more episodes of podcasts, if that's what you're doing. If you build more products, if you build more apps, if you do more artwork, whatever it is you do, do more of it. Do more of it than you're already doing. I don't care if you think you're doing so much of it already, do more of it. Trust me, because as Russ says, and I fully agree, that you can create this mathematical probability for luck. And that luck will conspire to make you successful, to make you do cool stuff. Trust me, it will. And I just thank you so much, Russ, for saying that, because that's so true. And it's such a misconception of luck that it just, you happen to be born lucky or with this horseshoe stuck somewhere that doesn't sound lucky at all. So thanks, Russ. I appreciate that. All right. So designpickle.com is a great service. It's probably not for everyone, but it works well for me. And I want you to go to hacktheentrepreneur.com right now. Scroll down a little bit to the podcast episodes, any of the last 40 probably at this point, and check out the artwork. It's really, really good. You're going to see if you go through my most recent ones and then you keep scrolling through pages until you get to old, you'll see this, I guess, an evolution. I started out with artwork that was okay, and then it kind of got a little bit worse for some reason. Then it got a little bit better, and then started getting worse actually again. And then I found Design Pickle because I got to talk to Russ. And it's done wonders for the way my site looks, and it's really cool. I'm really, really happy. And so just check it out, man. Just go see if you like it, and it might be something for you. And again, Russ is not in any way paying me to do this, but I do really, really, truly believe in his service. So thanks again. I totally appreciate you taking the time to stop by with me. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.